Right at this point, we're going to go ahead and start the video, and then Don's going to come and share with us about the Gideons and from God's Word. So, Michelle, when you're ready, thank you so much.
Every Sunday, churches open their doors to communities around the world for people to fellowship, to worship, to grow, and to renew their spirits with the hope found only in the Word of God. But for many, Sunday is a day like any other. That's where the Gideons come in. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are, by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life, and by personally sharing the message of true hope with the weary traveler, the sick and discouraged, with all generations, in small towns and in major cities, across time zones and countrysides, and to the ends of the earth. So men, women, boys and girls can learn who they are in Christ and experience life as children of God. Gideons have never done this work alone. It's churches, just like yours, who make their work powerful and effective in different cultures and languages throughout some 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. Gideons are members of churches first, dependent on God's people for support through prayer, giving, and a growing membership. Because in the end, we're all carrying out one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
Give you the command to fall in, you're going to form a platoon on the yellow footprints outside this bus. The first and last word out of your mouth will be, sir. Is that understood? I can't hear you. Didn't mean for the babies to cry. That was the warm welcome I received at Marine Corps Depot, San Diego, California, Recruiting Depot to San Diego, California in March of 1983. But that's not where the Gideon guidebook says to use an attention gainer. Well, I couldn't think of anybody gain my attention any quicker than that drill instructor when he jumped on that bus. But the real story started just hours before when I was at the MEPS, the Military Entrance Processing Station, down in Denver, and we were getting ready to fly out of back then. It was Stapleton International Airport. And this little old bald man comes up to me and he says, "Here, take this, you're going to need it." Well, and then I got to San Diego, and this little old bald man says, I didn't know how he got there before me, probably not the same little old bald man, because back then they all looked the same. He said, "Take this, you're going to need it." Boy, did I need it. Not necessarily get through boot camp, but by November of that year, 1983, I came to know Jesus as my Savior as a result of those two little New Testaments and a letter I received from a girl back home, which I had only dated for, 6 weeks, or 3 weeks. And she wrote me about Jesus. Now, thank you. Where's Pastor at? It's hard to see in the lights. Oh, okay. Thank you, Pastor, for having us here. And let me yell at everybody. Didn't mean for the baby to cry, though. Sorry, Jonathan. But I get a chance to thank you all for listening to me do a presentation about the Gideon Report. Well, we got big things to report. Just this last week was the Adams County Fair. We had 1,800 of those little New Testaments go out into our community in Adams County. 1,800. And we know that God's word never returns void. It says that in Isaiah. Or Isaiah, yes. Isaiah 55:10. Thing about it is, we got to share the gospel orally, and I'm going to share what's in our New Testaments a little later. We got to share the gospel orally to over 300 individuals that came to the booth, and we opened up the New Testament and showed them how they could have Jesus as their Savior by sharing the gospel of Jesus in the back of each New Testament. Thing about that is, 33 of those individuals decided to make a dedication or rededication to the Lord at the booth. We don't know how many are going to be, but yeah, I think, can I get an amen or a praise the Lord? 33 individuals now going to heaven that weren't when they first stepped up to the booth. So we're excited about that. In fact, Ted, he got, you got four. That he actually had to get lead to the Lord. The other thing is that this isn't the only place we do it locally. UNC was over 2,000 scriptures went out. CU Boulder, over 3,000 scriptures. We do that on campus. We go in with Crampson's Crusade or one of the missions that are there at the school, and we give out little New Testaments. People come to know the Lord from His holy word. But that doesn't stop there. We want to get them into the churches, because the discipleships happen in the church. So not only do we get out, we also, in our little New Testaments, are at the very back of the book to encourage us folks to find a Bible-preaching church. And that's what our mission is. Boys and girls, men and women, coming to know Jesus. Now, Rocky wrote to the Gideons International about how he and his wife had to bury their 17-year-old son. Now, they, you know, had gone through the mourning process, and they were cleaning out his room. And they thought that his demise was the end of his time. But in the very back of those little New Testament, he had put his name and date where he had accepted Jesus just days prior to him passing away. And that was a little orange one. And the orange ones that we give out, that's normally at the fair, or it's at a school distribution. In this case, they were happy that we had been around a school and given to those youngsters that are on the sidewalk. They didn't write to the Gideons to bring us into their mourning process. They wrote to the Gideons and to the church to let you know that they wanted to rejoice with us, because their son's going to heaven and they'll see him again there. Vitamir was he's on his last days in Russia, and the Gideons had placed a New Testament in the hospitals there. They use a little sized New Testament that they place for those that are being nursing home type thing. Now, he had lived 17 years of his life was spent in prison. He wasn't living a good life, and he hadn't trusted in Jesus at all. In fact, he hadn't even known about Jesus until he read the scriptures. And he came to know Jesus before he died. Phil, now I think I may have shared this testimony before, but I came into the Marine Corps. I served 21 years, 7 months, and 4 days, but who was counting? But Phil came back in a box from the desert, draped with an American flag. You see, his parents got all of his personal effects, and they thought he was not going to heaven either because of his lifestyle before he left. But in that little New Testament, he had signed the back. And so his parents were so pleased that Phil's going to heaven, because somebody gave $1.25 back then, now it's almost $1.75, for a little New Testament. Now keep in mind, when you give money to the Gideons, 100% goes to the publication and distribution of God's holy word. My dues, Ted's dues, Linda's dues, our dues pay for the overhead. So rest assured that 100% of any giving that's given goes to the publication and distribution of God's holy word, as it says, in over 200 countries. And you'll see back on the table, there's a display back there that covers all the different languages that we publish in. But then we also have the Bible app. You know what that is? That's a notice for me to stop talking about the Gideons and start the presentation. So my transfer in, but from the Gideons, we thank you for all your giving and support so far. But we need new Gideons. So if you're a professional or businessman and you want to be a Gideon, pastor has to approve you. You have to be a member of the church, and pastor has to approve you. We need your finances, which is the giving aspect. But more important, we need to be get your prayers. And the thing about the prayers, there's a Friends of the Gideons cards back on the back table. And if you become a friend of the Gideons, you'll find out where to pray, what to pray for specifically, of where the Gideons need your support in prayer around the world. So we encourage you to be prayer partners. And the local camp here that Ted's a member of, I'm on the east side of I-25, and Ted's on the west side. He's over on this side. So we kind of share the area because everybody mixes. But you get invited to some of the events at his camp as well. Or you can be part of my camp. It doesn't matter. We're all Gideons. We enjoy each other. So that's the end of my presentation. I'm going to transition now into a gospel presentation. We call it a gospel presentation. This is the presentation we give at the fair to those that will stand and talk with us. Now, before I do that, though, I'm going to show you a video. And it's a video of Bishop Ron Archer. And he's going to get to some raw pain and describe that raw pain. He's going to describe how he trusted in the Lord to overcome that pain. But most important, and because most of us are already believers here, he's going to describe what he did after he overcame. And that's how he shared the good news that I'm going to share later with other people in his life, his family, his friends, and then went on to be a bishop over churches in the Caribbean and here in America. So let's start that video, and I'll be back up in about 7 minutes and 22 seconds.
I was 10 years old, and I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him hamburger. Hamburger met French fry and created a happy meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening he was inebriated, and a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory, in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. And the doctor said, we have to take out your third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life. What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare? She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail. And day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house, they lost their car, they lost their furniture, they lost their dignity, they lost their self-esteem, and they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple, and my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things: don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, "Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom." She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, Something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the Word of God.
Now I can't preach like that, I'll tell you. But remember, there's the people that are involved in that, those that caused the hurt, the teacher who shared the Word, and Ron, who took the word that was shared and shared it with others. And that's what the, you can go ahead and start the slideshow, because we'll have to go through it rather quickly, because I'm already over the time here. There's good news in your Bible. The gospel, the good news in your Bible is for you, and it's for you to share. We all know 100 people on a first name basis at least. And we always wonder how many of those 100 are not going to go to heaven because I didn't share with them the good news of Jesus. Next slide. Introduction. Gospel means new good news. Gospel, this is for your sheet if you're filling it out. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news ever. Go ahead with the next slide. And what is the gospel? It's God. He's being proved true by Jesus and what he did, what he had to say to us, what Jesus proclaims. God loves you. He wants you heaven bound. And it says it in John 3:16. We see this a lot. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in Romans it says, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. Next slide. I'm going to go through them quickly because this is like we do at the Adams County Fair. We got 5 minutes with each one. So we try to go through the gospel quickly so that we can let them make a decision. Why is the gospel important? There's a blank in there. Let's go back on this slide real quick to five. God's good news holds value. And it's most valuable to everyone in every generation. That's why we target our youth right now with the Gideons. We want to see that our youth, who may never have seen a Bible before, how many at the booth, hundreds, said they didn't even know about Jesus because their parents don't go to church. Like Ron's parents, they don't go to church. Next slide, please. Sin ultimately separates you and I from God, from a relationship with him. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he, Jesus, might destroy the works of the devil. And in Habakkuk, speaking to God, God, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Next slide on sin. Well, you ask, well, what is sin? Okay, who's the gospel? Every individual is in need of God's good news because, next slide, all are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember one of the first sermons I heard from Pastor Aaron was about missing the mark and the target, the arrows. If you miss the zero in the middle, you've sinned. If we don't meet our target, and this is what is sin? Sins of commission, where Adam and Eve, they committed a sin, and sins of omission. And James says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Both sin, intentional sins and unintentional sins are committed by us all. And delayed obedience, I learned as a small child that delayed obedience was disobedience. Smack on the bot if I didn't do it right away. Next slide. When is the gospel available? God provides opportunities for us to share or us to receive His holy word and accept God's good news at all the time. I came to know Jesus, later in my life. I was 25 years old. I'm sorry, 23 years old. But I was raised Catholic. So I had all that catechisms up in my brain, and it took me 25 years of catechisms and a letter from a young lady who wrote to me and those two New Testaments to make that 16-inch transfer from having the head knowledge of Jesus to having Jesus in my heart and Lord of my heart. So it's available all the time. God's remedy for sin is Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Jesus answers the Old Testament prophecies, and He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and available to save any of us. God did that for us because He loved us so much. In Romans, our response would be, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Behold, I stand at, this is Jesus talking, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, dine with him, and he with me." Jesus is always at the door, knocking until one decides to believe. And it's a choice to believe. It's a personal choice. Next. But once they've made that choice, how do you know that for certain that you're going to heaven? And these are the assurance verses that we use. God gives His believers assurances. God's promises are to those who trust in Christ are these. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. But these they are written," talking about the Scriptures, the holy word of God, "were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name." And John, Jesus says of himself, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that they shall not perish." The "shall," and I'm a contracting officer, so "shall" is a strong word. It means there's no tearing away from it. It must be done. "They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Once you come to a believing faith in Christ, Jesus, no one can pull you away from that. No one thing, anything can happen. The summary of the gospel of Jesus: God loves you, but he hates the sin. So he, God, provided Jesus, his only son, to come to earth and live a sinless life so he, Jesus, could be the spotless lamb, sacrificed to take away the sin of the world, so that you and I and those we share his word with, by our faith and theirs, in what Jesus did on the cross, could have eternal life. And that eternal life is in heaven. Next slide. Now comes the time in a service where this happened to me as a spelling error. Because I had one of the slides at one of the churches I spoke at, and I just said, "Call to the altar," and I spelled it wrong with the ER. So Linda says, "Don, you spelled wrong. You can't have that happen." But what happened? I looked it up because I didn't think I was wrong. Have you ever been in that situation where you knew you was right and no, you weren't? Anyway, I found out it was to change, to alter and change. So I used both words now on the slide. It's time to call to altar at the altar. Now, an altar can be in your seat. It can be at a kneeler like these, the old-fashioned way, where you came used to come up to the front to kneel. In fact, these steps could be an altar. It's how you were and how you want to commute with God, or commune with God. See, I'm not so good at working the right words anyway, right? These are the kinds of things to pray for. First off, if you don't know Jesus yet as your Savior or Lord, you could always be praying for that from where your seat is now or any place in the sanctuary. You could pray for rededication. And some of those, the 33 that came to, back to Jesus or came to Jesus, know Jesus the first time, a lot of those were rededications. Or those that had gone to other churches and had walked away from being in the church and walked away from being disciples. There's prayers for healing. And here at this church, we believe in the ultimate healer, Jesus, and he'll take care of those healings for us. We pray for provisions. That's house, car, job, anything that you might need. We pray for relationships. Probably the most important, I probably should have listed it up there after the rededication, is relationships to those that you still need to have relationships with to make those stronger. And we're doing that again next month for the married couples. And then prayer for others. So if someone does come up, and wants prayer, or if you have prayer requests, you could raise your hand now, and those around you would pray for you. So if anybody has any prayer requests, feel free to raise your hand now. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I know we're over the designated time, but praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone, for listening to me.
Thanks, Don. Let's all bow our heads just for a moment, and you know we want to respond to what the Lord is maybe doing in our hearts and our lives. And, you know, as Don said, there's so many things that we could pray for. And what's amazing to me is that God hears every single prayer. It's so easy, I think, at times to go, well, you know, there's so many things going on in the world that are bigger than what I'm dealing with. And we kind of, in a weird way, we allow that to keep us from experiencing what God wants to do in our lives. And maybe this is a weird way to express it, but I think it's a good way to express it. There is no need that my son has that is too small for his dad. And just so you know, just so we're clear on this, he doesn't have a perfect father. At times he's got a selfish dad. At times he has an absent dad. At times he has a dad who's focusing on things that he probably shouldn't focus in on. They aren't quite as important as his son. But at the same time, even in my imperfection as a father, when my son comes to me with a need. Now notice here, I didn't say want, I said need. And he says, Dad, I need this. I'll tell you right now, me and my imperfection as his father will move heaven and hell to meet his need. Because I love him. And what's so amazing about Easton and every individual that has ever lived or will ever live is he's got a dad in heaven that's perfect, that loves him in a way that we can't even comprehend because of its greatness and its scope. And when you come to that Heavenly Father, and you bring your needs, he meets those needs. Now, we don't always have them met the way we want or think they should be met or in the timing that we think. But he meets those needs. He promised us in His word that He would. So whether it's for salvation or healing or a broken relationship or a broken bank account or whatever it is, maybe you just today, you're just a little down. And you need to once again allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength. Whatever your need is, you have a Heavenly Father who is inviting you to bring it to Him. And let Him do what only He can do and meet it in a way that only He can. So if you have a big need and you're acknowledging that, or you have a small need and you're not acknowledging that in your need, whatever you have, bring it to the Lord. Put it in His hands. Allow Him to do what only He can do, because He loves you, because He cares for you, because He wants to meet those needs in your heart and show His faithfulness to you. So whatever those needs are, we're going to pray as we kind of conclude the service. But I want to invite you that no matter what that need is, that you'll bring it to Him and allow Him to, whether He does it immediately or in His time and in His will, that you can know this morning that your Father is working on your behalf to meet that need in a great and mighty way. So as I pray over you, will you just pray as well? And listen, pray specifically. What is your need? Don't just, okay, Lord, just help me. No, that's not what my son does. It's probably not what your kids do, or grandkids, or whatever. Be specific and speak that need to your Father and allow Him to meet it. Father, we love You. And God, we do thank You for loving us so much that You sent us Jesus. The greatest gift that we have ever received is Him. And He came and He died and He rose again so that we could also live. And we're so thankful for that. And so for some of us, maybe that's our prayer this morning. It's that acceptance. It's that confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that You are Lord and giving our entire life over to You. Maybe it's rededicating our lives to You. But for those that have done those things, we are still a needy people. We still need You in our lives. And some of us have needs of relational issues. Some of us have needs with physical issues. Some of us have mental issues that we need, or maybe financial, or whatever it might be. There's the list could go on and on and on. But no matter how big our list, no matter how large it seems, nothing is too big for You. There is nothing that we can't bring to You and know that You can handle it and deal with it and bring forth amazing things. Father, it says in Your word that God, even though their sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning. And that joy is brought on by You and what You can do in our hearts and in our lives. So Father, whatever those needs are, we place them in Your capable hands. We ask that Your will would be done in those things and in those situations. We love You and we thank You. And we thank You that You have asked us to come and respond to Your calling and to Your word. You're so good. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So, a couple things here as we kind of close and dismiss. If you have an offering for the Gideons, remember how to do that. You could either give here, make sure you use an envelope, or if you use a check, make sure you put on the check Gideons. If you give online, just make sure that you designate that to them so that all those funds can go there. And I want to encourage you on this, because sometimes we can forget how God's economy works, okay? I don't know about you, but I like to see a return on my investment, you know? You know, it's like we like to say, okay, here it is, and things like that. You know, here's the thing sometimes in God's economy. We may not know the return on our investment until we're all with Jesus. You know, here's the deal. You know, you saw the video of the guy, and man, what a story that was. But here's the deal. I bet you anything, the lady that handed him the Bible had no idea what God had used her to do. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you know what? I'm planting a seed, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Okay? And we can trust that. It's a promise. So maybe as we give towards the Gideons, you may say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, what's my, I think Don said $1.75 roughly Bible gonna do? Here's the deal. Great things. We don't know. We may not ever know. But I trust that one day when we're in heaven, we're going to find out the increase that God brought because we were willing to plant and water. We'll trust God on that. But I trust Him and trust that His word, as Don said, does not come back void. And so I want to encourage you to join Emily and I and support the Gideons in any way that you feel the Lord leading you in that, and that you would be obedient to that. Just, again, make sure that you help us out by doing it in the ways that we talked about so that we make sure all of that goes, okay? So in just a second, I'm going to pray, but again, I want to remind you, community group, sign up as well. Make sure you do that. And if you need sheets for the marriage conference that's coming up, grab those on your way out. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and pray over the love offering that we're going to be taking, that God would use it in mighty ways, and then you can be dismissed. Father, we do love you, and we do thank you for this opportunity to hear about how you're using the Gideons to make an impact in our world. And Father, because of the nature of their work, they don't always see immediately sometimes the fruit that comes from that. That sometimes they do, as Don shared with us about what happened at the fair. But there's, you know, I've been to many hotels and that their Bible's in there. And they hand these things out to so many people. And Father, they don't always see or always know the impact that they're making. But God, I trust you. I trust the power of your word. And I trust that when people receive the word of God, as it is sharper than any double-edged sword, that it can cut through pain, it can cut through hurt, it can cut through disappointment. And Father, it can bring hope and life and peace. And so Father, as you speak to us as far as what to give to help them in their mission, Father, I pray that you would speak clearly. And that, Father, that we would be obedient to what you've asked us to do. And that, Father, you would use this gift in powerful, mighty ways in our community and literally around the world. Thank you for all that you are and all that you're doing. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, thank you for being here this morning. For those that are online, we love you. Hope that you're doing well. We'll see you soon.